a teacher at Harding University, a number of years ago said this: if you get the book of Romans, God will get you. And by that, Brother Allen, Jimmy Allen, the person that made that statement, was saying that to understand the teaching and the message of the great book of Romans is to understand what God would reach down to us and bring to our understanding some great, wonderful truths that this great letter that Paul wrote unto those saints in the great city of Rome. It is the first letter that is given in our Bible. The epistles that Paul wrote, some think he may have written about 13 letters in the New Testament. And the book of Romans is the first one after the book of Acts. Chronologically, it is not the first that Paul wrote. But some would say that because of the great doctrinal content, the great message of justification through Jesus Christ, and the great practical application of what it means for us to be justified before God. Some would also say because Rome was a capital city of the great Roman Empire, that maybe because of that, we have the placing of this great letter in the first of all of the letters of the New Testament. Do you like peas? You like black-eyed peas? You like Crowder peas? Green peas? Down in South Georgia, where I was raised, my mother loved to cook zipper peas. Anybody have ever heard of zipper peas? I think all of us love to be able to digest these peas physically. But there are some peas that are not the same spelling, but the identification of the peas that come to us out of the book of Romans. It's easy to be able to take these peas, words that begin with a letter P, and understand the wonderful message that Paul is revealing by divine inspiration. Can I tell you first? We all have a P that is a problem. The problem that is identified in the great book of Romans is recorded in chapter 3 and verse 23. You want to write that down? Romans 3, verse 23. Here is a universal problem. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is our problem? What is the problem that everybody has? It is the problem of sin. There is none righteous. No, not one. Verse number 9. All have previously been charged as being under sin. Well, you go back to chapter 1. And Paul there in Romans will say the Gentiles are under sin. And he will go through that chapter in the latter part in particular. And he will lay out all of the sins of the Gentile world. But you go to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, Paul will say, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. To whom is Paul speaking when he says, you that judge another are doing the very things that you judge others and you condemn others of doing? Paul is there saying that the sins not only of the Gentile world, but the sins of the Jewish nation. And the Jews were guilty of committing sins before God. So what Paul does, he brings the Gentiles and the Jews all under the condemnation of sin. No one can stand before God and say, I have not committed sin. Did you watch Brother Phil Sanders this morning in Search of the Lord's Way? Brother Sanders talked about this problem of sin. And Brother Sanders, in a wonderful way, showed that everyone of the age of accountability, everyone knowing right from wrong, has committed sin and stand under the judgment of God because of sin. But we live in a nation that doesn't want to identify sin. We don't want to call it what it really is. We want to call it something else. We want not to identify the black, dark sins of our lives as being really something that is before God, an offense to Him, and comes under the judgment of God. We today are identified in the Lord's church as being narrow-minded, as being legalistic, as being unloving and unkind when we identify sin for what it really is. You go back to the days of the prophets of old, and the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, the great prophets of God called in the days of the nation that had gone away from God's will for that nation, the nation of Israel, and they were calling evil good. And they were calling good evil. We might say it in this way. They were calling white black and black white. They did not want to identify what sin really was, being a serious problem. We have a lot of problems around us today. There may be political problems. There may be physical problems. There may be problems in your family, in my family. There may be problems that all of us are dealing with, whether it be on the job, in the home, in the nation. What is our greatest problem? Well, we understand the greatest problem that all of us have is that of sin. Sin. When we see the greatness of the problem of sin, we understand in the second place, we need a power to deal with this problem. A power that is greater than sin, that is stronger than sin. A power that is able to deal with the problem. Money is not going to deal with it. The powers of men today and of nations are not going to deal with the problem of sin. Listen to what Romans tells us is the power to deal with the problem of sin. You're familiar with this great verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it That is, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Did you hear it? What is the power of God unto salvation? Salvation from what? Salvation from sin. What is the power brought down to us today that is able to deal with our greatest problem? It is the power that is found in the gospel of Christ. You've heard many times preachers who've stood behind this wonderful pulpit, and they've declared to you as a congregation, they've told you about the wonderful power of God that is revealed in the gospel of Christ. And they've reminded all of us that the word power is from the Greek word dunamis. Now the word dunamis sounds like what? Sounds like dynamite. We know what dynamite can do. We know how you stick dynamite in something, a rock or in some thing that you want to explode or break apart. And you stick that dynamite into what you want to break apart. And that dynamite has power within it that explodes. And as that dynamite explodes, whatever it is in is able to break it apart. Here is a man's heart hardened by sin. Here is a man's life controlled by sin. And we wonder what can break that man's heart, what can explode within and bring about a change in that person's heart. It is the power that is found in the gospel of Christ that is able to explode, is able to break apart that hard heart, can bring that person unto obedience and salvation, can bring one into a righteousness revealed in the gospel of Christ. Men are made right today through the power of the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when I came to you at Corinth, I brought the gospel. And you receive that gospel. You stand in that gospel. And Paul says, you are saved by the gospel I brought to you. Paul, what was the gospel that you brought unto the Corinthians? For I delivered you first of all that which I also first received. Here it is. Christ died for our sins. We said that's the problem. Our sins. How are we going to deal with our sins? I can't deal with my sins on my own. I can't be righteous and good enough on my own to forgive my own personal sins. So how do I deal with those sins? Paul says Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul tells us then the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a simple message? Isn't that simple to understand? And if I can get the fact tonight, or today rather, in my heart that Christ died for me, He was buried, and He arose again, according to the Scriptures, there's a power, there's a righteousness revealed in that gospel that is able to bring salvation, salvation to all. All who have sinned, all who will believe in the power of that gospel, they then can have the salvation from the problem of sin. In the third place, not only is a problem revealed in Romans, the problem of sin. Not only is there a power to take care of the problem of sin, but in the third place, there's also a person. There is someone that is able to help us rise above and overcome whatever problem of sin there is in our life. Who is that person? Well, you go back to chapter 1. And again, you notice that Paul is a servant of someone. Paul, who are you a servant of? Paul says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated of the gospel of God, which he promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Here it is, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The book of Romans, you see, is about a person. It revolves around this one that is called Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, Christ our Lord, born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus then is the one that Paul says, I want to hold up to the Roman Empire. I want all people. I want to bring this one that I'm an apostle of. I want to bring this one who is the Son of God. I want to bring the person of Jesus Christ and let him be preached. Let his power and grace and mercy be revealed through Jesus Christ. What do we have that is preached in Christ? What is the wonderful message that Paul says, I would declare unto you? We're going back again to chapter 3 in the great book of Romans. Paul says that there is now the righteousness of God apart from the law revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith, underline it, in Jesus Christ, unto all, and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Both Gentile and Jew, all under sin, are going to be saved by the same person. All who come to believe in Jesus, all who come to accept His life, all who come to accept the wonderful truths that are found in Jesus and believe in Him, there is no difference. There is no other person. There is no other way. All are going to come to salvation through this same person, Jesus the Christ, the one in whom there is redemption. Verse 24. The buying back from under the power of sin. The one in whom there is a propitiation. And that's a long word, isn't it? You say, Brother Charlie, what does the word propitiation mean? It means this. God's wrath against sin is satisfied in Christ. When God looks down upon the blood of His Son. When God looks down upon the redemption that is in Jesus and the blood that He shed, and our faith in that blood will satisfy the wrath of God against sin. God's justice, God's righteousness is satisfied through Jesus and the shedding of His blood. So, the problem of sin, the power of the gospel revealed in the person of Jesus the Christ. But the fourth and final P that is revealed in the book of Romans is that there is a plan that God has revealed, whereby all of us can come through the power of the gospel, through the person of Jesus Christ. God has laid out a plan for us. I know that there are those who have the mistaken idea, I want the man, but not the plan. I want Jesus, but I don't want to do anything to bring about my salvation through Christ. Jesus only. But there is, in the book of Romans, the revealing of the wonderful plan God unfolds for our salvation. He will say, first, it's not in the law. You can't go back to the law of Moses. You can't go back to the Old Testament. And the Jews who believed, well, I can go back and I can live under the law of Moses. And by living under Mosaical law, I can be saved by being a good Jew. Paul says there is no way that one can be saved. There is no flesh justified before God, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 3, verse 20. Those who are under the law are just simply able to realize that our mouths are stopped before God because no one was able to live up to and follow the law of God perfectly. Romans chapter 7, Paul says, we become dead to the law by the body of Christ. So you can't go back to the Mosaical law and say, by that plan, I can be saved. Others might say, well, you know, I can be saved by the plan of just being a good moral person. I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. I'm a good wife, a good mother. I'm a good citizen. I don't do all the things out there that the people in the world are doing. So by being a good moral person, I'm going to be saved in that way. Again, when we understand that the Bible says, no matter how good one might feel that they are, they come under the condemnation of their own conscience. Again, go to Romans chapter 7. And Paul will say there, and I believe that Paul is describing what he was before he came into a relationship with Jesus. Romans chapter 7, Paul says, the good that I would do, I don't do. And the bad that I should not do, that's the very thing that I'm doing. Paul is a good moral person, but inside, Paul knew that I do not always do the things that I know are right. I do not live up to that standard of righteousness that I know that I should be living. And so Paul cries out, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me out of this body of death? And if Paul is good as he was under the Mosaical law, Paul as good a moral person as he possibly could be, would cry out unto God, oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me out of the body of death? Paul is telling us, just being a good moral person alone will not bring salvation. We must go to the plan. God has revealed. What is it? What is the plan that God unfolds for us in this great book of Romans? If I can understand this plan of God, God will get my heart. He will get my life, and I will submit myself unto Him. Listen to what He says in Romans 6, verse 17 and 18. Here is the plan of God, but God, be thanked that you were the slaves of sin. You had that problem. You were a slave of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that is the gospel, the message, the power of God unto salvation. You obeyed that form of doctrine, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You obeyed that plan of God to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. I want you to look at it for a moment with me as we draw our thoughts down to a close. Paul says, here is what you were. Here's what you were in the past. You were a slave of sin. But you did something. Brother Paul, what did they do? You obeyed. Obeyed what? You obeyed from the heart. The Bible heart is the seat of understanding. You understood something. You came to know something. You came to hear and obey something. You obeyed from the heart. That form of doctrine, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. That's the power of God. That's the gospel that brings about our salvation. And you obeyed from the understanding that form of doctrine, that plan of God, having then been set free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. I go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. There Paul says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Obey the gospel. Obey the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. You may wonder, how does one do that? How can one literally obey the death of Jesus? Can he go back and die on the cross like Jesus died? Am I to go and be nailed to a cross this morning to obey that gospel? Do I take my body down like Jesus did? Take my body down and bury it in the grave like He did? And can I be raised up out of that grave like Jesus was? There is no way that anyone can possibly obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus literally. These are facts. The facts of the gospel are to be believed, and the facts of the gospel are to be obeyed. Washington, D.C. is a fact. But you can't obey it. The death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord, these are glorious and wonderful truths, wonderful facts. But you can't literally do what Jesus did. But there is a way whereby when I obey from my heart, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, when I go through the form of doctrine, obeying the plan that God has revealed so clearly, that when you leave this audience in just a moment, I promise you, when you walk away, you will know exactly what the facts are that must be obeyed, what the plan of God is. Or Paul says in verse 3 of chapter 6, would you listen to it with an open heart? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly also we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be the slaves of sin. How can one hear, read, and understand those wonderful verses and not understand the plan of God. The book of Romans lays out clearly for those that would have an open heart what God's plan through the person of Jesus and the power of the gospel can deal this morning with the problem of sin in our life. Do you suppose that's why Jesus, giving the Great Commission, said, go? Go into all the world. Go into all the world and preach. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. For every creature of the age of accountability has a problem of sin, separating them from God. Preach that gospel to every creature lost in sin. The power contained in that gospel is all about my Son, Jesus the Christ. And those who believe and are baptized following the plan of God can find salvation in Jesus. Oh, the book of Romans. What a great book. How deep is its message? How simple is the revelation of those gospel peas that can bring us to a wonderful relationship with Jesus the Christ. You have that opportunity today to make that decision as we stand and as we sing. If you need to obey the gospel, would not be a greater day, a greater moment than today to obey Christ. If you need the prayers of your spiritual family,